Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let others obsess on the horse race. We've got issues. Today begins the final week in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series, and this is Transportation Week. You know, a good transportation system is a key to a world-class city, and from cars to buses to bikes, New York transportation is at a crossroads. So today, Issue 26, what is the proper place of cars in New York City? Should the city discourage driving? Or try to make it as pleasant as possible, or one thing here, another thing there. In last week's debate, Bill de Blasio surprised some people with who he identified with when asked about the pedestrian plazas at Times Square and Herald Square.
I have profoundly mixed feelings on this issue. I'm a motorist myself, and I was often frustrated. And then I've also seen, on the other hand, that it does seem to have a positive impact on the tourist industry. So for me, the jury's out on that particular question. I think it's worth assessing what the impact has been on traffic, what the impact has been on surrounding businesses. I would keep an open mind.
Bill de Blasio last week. And listeners, if you drive a lot in the city or if you don't, call us up and say what car-related policies you would like the next mayor to pursue. 212-433-WNYC. In what ways should the city's roads be made friendlier for drivers? In what ways should the city discourage the use of cars altogether? 212-433-WNYC. This is our on-air line, not our pledge line. We'll never ask you for money on the air. So drivers, non-drivers, call us up. 212-433-9692 on your car-related policies for the next mayor. And as your calls are coming in, let's get two takes on the proper place of cars. First, from Robert Sinclair, media relations manager at AAA New York. Robert, welcome to WNYC today. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Brian.
And first, just to follow up on that moment from the debate, does AAA have a position on the pedestrian plazas?
For us, the jury is still out as well, because we're still looking to see data from the city as to whether or not it's had an impact on travel times, on average speeds. In fact, there was a study, I think the city said that the average speeds are up and pollution is down, but you know, the city is usually very reluctant to release data on these kind of things, so we're looking to see some more objective information, to be honest with you.
I read that you said on New York One last year that New York is undercarred. And that
yes.
The city should increase capacity for private cars. So if that's your position, what would it translate to in terms of policy priorities for the next mayor?
Well, it's not quite accurate that I said it should increase capacity. What I was saying was that we should not decrease capacity with the plethora of bike lanes that we've seen. But in saying that the city is undercarred, I was comparing New York's car population with the rest of the country. And if New York had the number of cars representative of the population that we see in the rest of the country, there'd be 4.5 or 5 million cars here, not the 1.9 million vehicles that are registered in the city of New York.
And do you think that would be a good thing?
To have more cars?
Yes.
I think the number is not going up or down. It's held steady now for about 13 years. I think what we need to concentrate on is getting rid of the trucks. New York City has an inordinate amount of trucks on the road because we lack a rail freight tunnel, a basic piece of infrastructure that most cities have. The New York Metropolitan Transportation Council says that 96% of the freight that comes to our city comes by truck. And so we're clogged with trucks. They tear up the roads. They pollute the air. The George Washington Bridge, which brings most of the trucks into our region, is the busiest bridge in the country, if not the world. Hmm. Unfortunately, the rail freight tunnel that I'm talking about is a piece of infrastructure that would cost probably $10 to $15 billion. And so it's not going to happen anytime soon, it seems. Lack of leadership in Albany and D.C. is the cause.
Yeah.
So we need to find some other means of lessening the number of trucks on our road.
And you mentioned the proliferation of bike lanes. Before City Bike launched, mm-hmm. you were skeptical, I saw a quote in the New York Post, about whether it would be popular here, which it so far has been.
Yes.
Do you think in general that Bloomberg administration policy has been too hostile to drivers?
I think the policy could be one that incorporates a a smoothing, an interface of drivers and bicycles and pedestrians to a better degree than has been done.
By doing what, first of all, from the perspective of drivers?
Well, you know, that's a good question. As a transportation, as a driver's advocate, I'm not a transportation engineer, and it might be limited in what we can do there. Sam Schwartz, the gridlock Sam, the former commissioner of transportation, has a plan called right. Move New York that has a combination of changing roadways, making the Belt Parkway accessible to trucks, of building pedestrian bicycle bridges between Manhattan and Brooklyn and Queens and New Jersey, of tolls on the east side, but installing tolls on the east side river crossings and lowering them on other crossings. But it's a $60 billion plan. Where is the money going to come from? So we face very difficult circumstances. And this in a city where our roads and bridges are falling apart, it's estimated that 60% of the roads in New York are in fair or poor condition, and a third of our bridges are functionally obsolete, structurally deficient, or fracture critical. So it's a tough situation.
And guess what? We will ask Sam Schwartz about that plan later in the week in this same series.
Excellent.
Robert Sinclair, media manager for AAA New York, thanks a lot.
Thanks very much for having me.
And I also asked that question about the Bloomberg administration and cars to Bill de Blasio when he was on this program last week. Listen, I was surprised to hear you in the debate the other night identify yourself as a motorist when you said the jury's still out on the pros and cons of the pedestrian malls at Times Square and Herald Square. Do you think transportation policy has become too anti-car under Mayor Bloomberg?
No, I would not say that. I actually think, and I've said this in my platform, I think a lot of what the mayor's done is right in this area. Sometimes I think he did it in a way that was less consultative with communities than it could have been, and I've laid out very specific ideas on how we can consult better and make sure the plans are right from the beginning. But I have to say that the core of it I agree with fully. Look, we have to focus on pedestrian safety. We have to focus on bicyclist safety. The Vision Zero approach, which I subscribe to, literally the goal is to have zero fatalities amongst pedestrians and bicyclists. And I think we have a lot of the tools we need to fundamentally change our approach to safety. I do believe in the bike lanes we have and expanding them further. I do believe in the traffic calming measures. Pedestrian plazas are part of that. In the case of Times Square and Herald Square, I simply said my experience, which includes my experience as a motorist, is we need to look again and see if those are configured as well as they could be. And I think we may find there's some improvements we can make.
Bill de Blasio here last week. And joining me now is Rachel Weinberger, University of Pennsylvania Urban Planning Professor, co-editor of the book Automotives, Understanding Car Use Behavior, and a former senior advisor to Mayor Bloomberg's Office of Long-Term Planning and Sustainability. Professor Weinberger, thanks for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Brian, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here, but let me just, for the record, correct. I'm no longer affiliated with the University of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I am the Director of Research and Policy Strategy for Nelson Nygaard Consulting Associates.
Okay, sorry about that. So you're with Nelson Nygaard, and you heard Bill de Blasio and you heard Robert Sinclair from AAA New York. How would you describe the Bloomberg administration's main goals with respect to cars since you were an advisor, and how much have those goals been accomplished?
Well, I think that the current DOT administration has made tremendous strides in promoting a particular vision for New York City, but I think it's a false dichotomy to express it as anti-car or pro-pedestrian, pro-bike. And I think that Mr. de Blasio himself really underscored that by, as you say, identifying himself as a motorist. The vast majority of motorists in New York City are also transit users, and every motorist in New York City is also a pedestrian at some point. And so I think what the Bloomberg administration really has been trying to do is make the city move more efficiently. And hands down, the best way to make the city move more efficiently is to actually get people out of cars. There's going to be a huge number of people who sort of are on the margin between using transit or riding. I mean, you can tell that by how many people are riding bikes now with Citibike. And if we can get all of those people who are on transit on bikes and or all those people who are driving or some of those people, that makes more room on transit. And the best way, it's been shown over and over again all over the world, the best way to improve conditions for cars in the city is to get more people using mass transit and alternative modes.
That's an irony.
It is. And it's very counterintuitive. It's hard for people to understand. But the truth is, if the real hardcore car drivers, and I'll tell you, I have a brother who refuses to use transit. He will never get out of his car. The best thing for him is for me to stay out of my car.
And some people can't use mass transit because they're going from place to place for business or whatever that just doesn't have good transit routes.
That's right. So you need to really try to match the mode. So if it's a car or bike or transit or walking to whatever the particular trip is. And it also depends on if you're in a hurry or if you're carrying things or if you're with a large group of people. So there's really not any one size fits all on this.
All right. Listeners, what policies would you like to see with respect to cars in New York City for the next mayor? 212-433-WNYC. And Daniel in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. I'm just calling as someone who's actually sitting in alternate side parking right now waiting for the time to go, but in my car. But I have.
And you're there. It's 11:30. You can move now, right?
Well, I'm right at the end of the time. But at the as someone who moved here a year ago from a small bike-friendly city on the West Coast, I find that the driving here is challenging. I had done it before earlier in my life. But I just don't feel that any policies that are going to add to the cost or difficulty of driving, that's not necessary to reduce the number of drivers, because the barriers to driving in this city in terms of cost and convenience and parking and all of the associated things are already so high that I don't think trying to disincentivize driving any further would make much of a difference, because there's such a high barrier to get into driving in this city.
Rachel Weinberg, want to talk to Daniel?
Well, Daniel, I'll just suggest that there's still congestion, right? We can still make driving conditions better, and the best way to do that is by having fewer people driving. And you don't want to make fewer people drive by penalizing them. You want to make the alternatives that much more attractive.
I agree with the alternatives. As someone, as you said, I use public transportation regularly, so that does make sense.
Daniel, thank you very much. And so do we need to look at car policies as almost two different policies, congestion and pollution in the Manhattan Business District below 59th Street, say, versus ease of getting around everywhere else? For example, Joe Loda lost the Republican primary among Staten Island voters, and mostly it's believed because of their anger over tolls on the Verrazano Bridge, making it hard for them to get around, and that John Catsimatidis, the other Republican candidate, capitalized on that.
Well, I think it's absolutely the case that there are a variety of different movements and trips that need to be satisfied. I think the city looked at that quite closely when they did Plan YC, the initial plan. There's movements around and within your neighborhood. There's movements from your home to your job. There are freight movements that Mr. Sinclair mentioned. We have too many trucks. I think he'll get a lot of arguments about that. So there's a list of different kinds of movements that people need to make. There's journey to work trips to the airports, journey to work trips to the CBD. There's journey to work trips all throughout the boroughs. As it happens, the majority of people who live in any borough work in their same borough. So we have to, really look at what the data say about what the movements are and then think about addressing all of those trips appropriately.
Jeffrey in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeffrey.
Yes, good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much. This is a subject I feel passionately about just because I drive a cab in New York City. And I'd like to say I'm a fairly competent driver, but I believe we need to re-educate the drivers in this city as to what it is they're doing that causes traffic. I can't even begin to tell you how many mistakes I see on the road left and right every single day, all day. Blocking the box, speeding up at the last second to catch a light. These are the very same things that are causing the traffic people are sitting in. Secondly, I think that our infrastructure is designed a little poorly. What I mean by that is there are certain things on the road that cause so much traffic. For example, every merge on every major highway in the city is a guaranteed bottleneck. I'd like to see that addressed. I definitely would.
Jeffrey, interesting proposals and very specific. Rachel, any reaction?
Well, it's a very big city, so it's hard to respond to anything in particular. But I think, I can talk about highway merges, and generally those are satisfied by making the merge longer. I don't know if Jeffrey has some specific ideas about how he would go about it. Blocking the box is definitely a very difficult problem that needs to be enforced. I think part of the problem, though, is that there's a real feeling of scarcity of resources among drivers, among pedestrians, and among cyclists. I think that whatever mode you're on, people tend to be a little bit aggressive about themselves. And so my pet peeve, and I'm a regular bicycle commuter now, I have a huge peeve about bicyclists who stop in the crosswalk. You can stop 2 feet behind or 2 feet in front. Why on earth do you need to block the pedestrians from crossing the street? So I also think that some of that would be tamed if we didn't feel like we were competing for every inch of New York City.
Since mass transit and more friendly mass transit, more mass transit options is one of your keys to actually making the roads more friendly to the drivers that remain, are there particular pieces of mass transit infrastructure that you would like to see? And granted, these are very expensive, but particular ones that you would like to see at the top of your wish list?
I don't have particular geographies at the top of my wish list, but I think there's a very serious problem that New York City has that the rest of the country does not have, which is if you live in an area that is poorly served by transit, you really are limited in your job options. It's usually the other way around. Particularly the research from Southern California shows if you give someone a car, you improve their access to jobs. But that's just not the case here. So I would see better transit to, I guess, sort of an easy one to pick on is Co-op City, right? So because it is, if it were a city, actually, it would be the 10th largest city in New York State. And so better transit to Co-op City
would be. It needs a subway stop.
It needs a subway stop. And in the short term, it probably needs a bus rapid transit. So the underserved areas definitely need new options. And I would say areas that are already served, like Lexington Avenue line, need better parallel bicycle infrastructure to get people off the subway to allow for more movement on those by other people.
One more call. George in Brooklyn, we have 30 seconds for you. Hi, George.
Hi. Well, obviously, one way to solve a lot of these problems is to make the people who make the policies adhere to the policies. That is, politicians, public officials should be barred from using a car during the day, and their offices. Regular business should be done the way New Yorkers have to do regular business. If they're going to restrict cars, they should give them up.
Oh, if they're going to restrict cars.
Yes. Well, obviously, if they're going to allow fleets of 1,000, they can have fleets of 1,000, too. But what I'm saying is that you'll hear a lot of sanctimonious talking about how cars should be off the road and they're polluting and everything else, and then the guy jumps into his big black car and goes to the next speech.
I hear you, George. Thank you very much. So as we wrap up, Rachel Weinberger, do you get the sense from the de Blasio answer we played or from anything else that a Mayor de Blasio would change very much?
Well, I've heard candidate de Blasio say that he wants to look at a few things over again, and that's certainly his prerogative. I do think that to be consistent with what he's saying, he would keep the city moving in the direction that it's currently going. But all of these things are compromises. That's how policy gets made. So I wouldn't really predict, but if he's going to do what he says he's going to do, then he's going to stay the course.
Get ready for a button. Rachel Weinberger from the Nelson Nygaard Consulting Firm with today's edition, or our final guest on today's edition of 30 Issues in 30 Days, Issue 26, Cars and the City. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, you can keep posting your car-related policy priorities at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And as Transportation Week continues, we'll talk about taxis tomorrow, MTA priorities Wednesday, New Jersey as Car World Thursday, and Sam Schwartz on Friday with how bikes, cars, and pedestrians can all get along.